He's the voice of the Chicago White Sox. He's Jason Benetti. Now, Benetti, you are a White Sox guy, so we just really want to get into Birmingham Barons with you. Is that okay? Can we just go deep on the double A roster?
Let's do Terry Francona from the 90s. Let's do whatever you want to do, Greg. I am here.
You want to talk Michael Jordan, too? I mean, what do we like? How deep do we want to go down the rabbit hole here?
You want a conference call in Kurt Bloom, the voice of the Barons? I'm in for you, man. Whatever you want to do.
Jason and I have worked together at ESPN. He's now at Fox. Does a great job calling baseball, calling football, all over the place. Of course, doing the White Sox as well. So Jason's extremely talented, and we are very, very lucky to have him join us today on what I've always viewed as an unofficial holiday. My dad used to pull me out of school at 12 o'clock to watch Dodger games. So it's a very exciting day. It takes me back to my childhood. But this year, Jason, I've said it, I think this might be my most anticipated opening day ever with some of the changes that have been made to baseball. How is it being received by the purists that have followed the sport closely forever?
Can I say I don't care? I mean, I do. I care about all the purists. I care about people who've grown up with the game. But what I would say is this, like when you and I were growing up and the generation before us, the game had more pace. The game had more speed. There was less downtime. There was less, like, messing around with your gloves before you got into the box. I promise you, if you go back and watch televised games from, like, the 1980s, even the early 1990s, you're going to see a pace like what we've seen in spring training. It is awesome. I mean, I know you have kids. For anybody who has kids and is a parent, I do not, but I do know, watching these games this spring training, you are going to feel better about bringing a family to a game because you have a good idea that in about 2:35, 2:40, the game will be over. And you can have seen the whole thing. You can have taught the lessons of baseball, and you won't have to leave in the sixth inning. It is just a crisper game, and I really, really, really think it's good for the game. I was being glib off the top, but I will say, I think Major League Baseball feels like everybody will get on board. And that might be, you know, that might be hubris or whatever. But I think they're right. I think they're right. I think people are going to watch what I watched in spring training for a little while and be like, oh, no, this is way better. We want this.
Right. And that's how I watched more spring training this year than ever. Just because I was so enthusiastic about some of, I mean, when you're watching Pirates, Marlins, you know, it's like, what? I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I love the Grapefruit League. Yeah, I mean, like, why wouldn't you watch that? I mean, come on. Like, when you're dialed in on that, like, how can you not be fired up about some of the changes? But moving forward, I mean, what I might be more excited, the pitch clock's great. I think it's going to add another level of gamesmanship, another level of cat and mouse between pitcher and hitter. I love that. But I'm almost more excited about them getting away at the shift and increasing the size of the bases, because I think there will now be an increased premium on athleticism on the field. And we've kind of done away with that with the shift and kind of limiting how much movement's on the base pass because there's just not as many steal attempts as there used to be.
Yeah, I agree with you. I did not think I was going to like the shift change because I didn't think that it was going to incentivize guys to not hit home runs. But what I'm seeing is much more of like the expectation of it goes off the bat up the middle, you're probably going to get a hit. And that's comforting for a viewer. But I would say the other part of this that is really interesting is the disengagements for pitchers, right? You can only step off the rubber twice in an at bat. If you do it the third time, it's going to be a balk or you pick the guy off. I think personally, you're going to see a bunch of major league franchises. There are 30 that are all conceptualizing these rule changes differently. What's valuable? What isn't? When should we steal? When shouldn't we? I've conceptualized it in my mind as like, if you were to sit down at a blackjack table after playing for years, and you were to sit down and in the middle of a shoe, the dealer's like, okay, now I have to stay at 15. it would completely change your calculus on everything you do at the blackjack table. Like, right. If you had a five, you wouldn't wave it off against a five because you'd probably end up losing. It would be a totally different deal, and it would take a long time and a lot of writing and a lot of thinking to figure out what the best case scenario is in every spot. So they've just completely blown up the calculus of all 30 teams, which to me is what baseball needed because it was getting a little bit stale.
I would totally agree with that. And I kind of likened it to, hey, when it's third and 12, like it's an obvious passing situation. Like, hey, man, if you've had two disengagements, I know you have to go home. So I'm going to be shot out of a cannon as soon as your first move happens. Like, I'm really excited about that. So hopefully it incentivizes steals and stealing bags and things like that. Of all the different offseason moves, and we have not talked hardly any Major League Baseball on here for the last 2 years. Of all the offseason moves that were made this offseason, which one are you most intrigued by heading into opening day today?
Well, look, I as somebody who covers the AL Central a lot, I think if you were to say, and this probably isn't the biggest splash in baseball, but this is one of those where I think two teams are thinking about the rules completely differently than one another. The Twins traded a former batting champ in Luis Arraez to the Marlins for a frontline starting pitcher in Pablo Lopez. And it's a totally under the radar thing for people who are listening, but I bring it up because there is a chance that trading a batting champion, which may not have hurt you before with the whole rule, like the whole rule structure of hitting home runs being the most valuable thing, and it's not even close. Now, you may want somebody like that back. And I'm fascinated by, you know, the Phillies with Trey Turner. I think that'll be really interesting to see where they end up. Did the Dodgers letting some people go hurt themselves, especially with the depth that they don't have anymore with Gavin Lux's injury? The Padres seem to be building a super team out there in San Diego. So there's a lot there. But I do think when we get to the trade deadline this year, I think we might see more activity than usual because I still don't think at that point the teams are going to have figured out a universal value for all the rule changes. So I think some teams might be like, oh, no, we absolutely want this guy. And this other team might say, no, we absolutely want this guy you're not using.
We're obviously in Braves country down here. I hate the Braves. But I do feel obligated, knowing the part of the world that we occupy, there is significant interest. So I usually spend my time discussing Braves as taking unnecessary shots, but that's who I am. I can't necessarily change who I am at this point. I do feel like the NL East, it's not the NL West. The NL West is the strongest, I think. But the NL East is really close between what the Phillies did this offseason and what the Mets have done since Steve Cohen took over as the owner. So how do you kind of handicap the NL East right now with all the different improvements that have been made?
I think the Phillies are really good, but the Rhys Hoskins injury is a problem for them, and so is the Harper thing. I mean, he's not going to be back for a month, month and a half, maybe.
It's an elbow, right, with Harper? Like, I mean, but it's not something they think is going to be a long-term thing, right?
No. He'll be able to DH, I think, is what I'm reading. So, you know, he'll be back-ish. But the Rhys Hoskins thing over at first base, I think, is really damaging for those guys because he's a big power bat. The Mets losing Edwin Diaz. I mean, the Mets right now have either David Robertson or Adam Ottavino, who are in their late 30s. No offense,
right,
to people in their late 30s. I am one, but like that's not what you want when you're going into a season. I would say right now, just current structure, based on how many people they have locked up long-term and how much these guys all know that they're going to be together, even with Vaughn Grissom not having the spring that they wanted, I think the Braves are the favorite in the NL East. I do.
Really? Wow, yeah, you are playing to the audience right now. I love that.
Hey, nobody likes pandering more than this guy, okay? Like, I'm happy to pander.
Visiting with Jason Benetti, he's the voice of the Chicago White Sox, also does a great job on college football and baseball with Fox as well. Looking at the Padres, it's hard to ignore what they've done in the last 2 years. As a group that has long been considered a bit of a mid-major, not one that's going to try to go outspend anybody, I don't know what the heck happened. The Padres were an afterthought my whole life, and now all of a sudden they're legit. So explain to me what changed with them in the last couple of years to where now they want to go out and spend, and bringing in Xander Bogaerts was like the most shocking thing ever. So just help me on.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Understand what the heck's happened.
Yeah, it sounds painful for you. How are you with this?
The good news is the Giants aren't good. So, like, if the Giants were good and the Padres were good, I would be looking for the tallest building. But I'm not at this point. Like, the Padres, I feel like we can at least deal with them. But I don't like the fact that they are now as heavy a hitter as the Dodgers, if not more so in some ways.
I like that there's still this pain. Like, I like that you're a transplant now, you're not on the West Coast, like, you're not getting pulled out of school to go to Dodgers games. But I do really like that there's still this pain here.
Well, I appreciate your celebration of my pain. Like, baseball, I started watching baseball when I was 1 year old. You know, like, I mean, I don't remember those games. But baseball never leaves you. Like, everyone's like, how are you a Dodger fan? I was like, I was born in Los Angeles, lived there for 10 years. Like, it never leaves you. Like, once you have your baseball team, it's over. Like, you don't change. Like, with football and other things, you can, like, change and move and maneuver. But baseball is just pure to me, and I've been with the Dodgers from birth. So I really have no choice. Like, I have a monument, an ode to Tommy Lasorda in my office. Like, I mean, he's like the greatest coach of all time. So it's just different for me. But yeah, there is a real pain there, and I do really care. I genuinely care. I loathe the Padres 100 times more than I loathe Auburn. I don't loathe Auburn at all, to be honest with you. That's just a pretty wild thing to say, though.
Well, you're right. I get it. But, like, I get it. I am the voice of the team that I grew up watching as a kid. And that is a really interesting thing because, you know, you go to school, you learn how to be a play-by-play announcer, and you go work all these games nationally that you don't really have a stake in. And then you come back and you do the White Sox. And when I sat down to do the job and the first time I did it in 2016, I was like, okay, well, I'm a journalist and all of these things. And, like, the White Sox hit a homer in my first game to win, and I felt myself, like, get kind of emotional. Like, Eloy Jimenez, the White Sox outfielder, got traded from the Cubs a bunch of years ago, and then he hit a home run at Wrigley Field. And I just instinctively, as the ball cleared the fence, said, thanks, Cubs. And I still have people say that to me on both sides of town. So I was talking about your pain because I totally get it. You know, you try to detach yourself from what you grew up with, and it's not really possible. And I don't really have what I believe is good news for you on the whole Padres deal because ownership, I mean, they out there are acting in a lot of ways like Steve Cohen has with the Mets. Like, they are going to push teams through the luxury tax to not really care about that and say, you know, to all you other owners, you can do what we're doing or you can grouse about it, because they seem to have very deep pockets, a very high interest in spending and winning, and they're really smart about it. I mean, they went and got a guy like the Rangers did with Bruce Bochy. Like, the Padres went and got Bob Melvin, who is a great mix of old school and new school. He lived in the A's atmosphere for a long time. I just think they've really done it right out there. And I do think the NL West, as you said, the AL West and the NL West are the two most intriguing divisions to me this year because of the possible depth in both of them.
Well, the NL West is I mean, living in Dallas and seeing how many bandwagon Ranger fans there are, I'm sure they're all in their DeGrom jerseys now. That, you know, it's just unbelievable. It's pathetic. I mean, it's like, goodness gracious alive. Like, you didn't even know the Dodgers or the Rangers existed until they got A-Rod. And then now everyone's a Dodger fan or a Ranger fan. So I'm with you. I think it's a fascinating year to follow the sport. Are you on a show today? Are you doing the White Sox game?
Hey, your bosses and my former bosses at ESPN took it as their opening game, so I am hanging out in the hotel in Houston right now with no work to do tonight.
Well, you have a lot. There's a lot to do in Houston this weekend. Why don't you go scout some hoop or something? I mean, there's a lot. You can't complain. There's plenty to do.
Oh, I think if anybody listened to this conversation, they would say Jason is the one who's not complaining. And the Dodger fan is the one. I would be happy to come on monthly and do like Greg lays on the couch and Jason is his baseball psychologist segment, because I think there's a lot of untapped potential here. And I just hope you're going to be okay this season.
I'm a little concerned about my well-being. Winning the NL West was basically a birthright. That's no longer the case, not with the additions to the division. Buddy, I so appreciate the time. Hope you have a great series this weekend. Look forward to seeing you again very soon. Thanks again for stopping by.
You're the best, and I apologize for sounding like one of Marge Simpson's sisters this morning. I am dealing with a little bit of a cold, so I appreciate it. You can call me Patty or Selma if you'd like.
No, you sound terrific. And for those that don't know, check out Jason Benetti. He was with me on the call of Alabama-Tennessee a couple years ago that went down to the wire. Well, kind of down to the wire. Down in the fourth quarter, it was an interesting game. And all the vitriol y'all spewed towards me, you should have also spewed towards Jason. I don't know if they did, but I'm hoping you received some of that Twitter venom.
Oh, he's already accepted.
Well, he's already gone. All right. Well, Jason was there. So I'm just trying to deflect a little blame. That's all I'm saying. We didn't cause the game to be close. It wasn't us.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say.
Feels
We're that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.